What is up, everybody? This is the Rock Spotlight Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Matt Driscoll, owner and operator of Driscoll Chiropractic in Webster, New York. Rock Spotlight's mission is to connect others through an educational podcast. Each episode will highlight someone from Rochester, New York, in the health and wellness space who is thinking outside of the box, providing exceptional products and or services, and is elevating our community. Make sure to stay tuned after the podcast for more information on my practice, on my approach to healing, and a little bit more about myself. Thanks for listening, guys. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to the Rock Spotlight Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Matt Driscoll, and today we'll be discussing something festive for St. Patrick's Day, right around the corner, and that is Irish dancing. I'm over 50% Irish, as my ancestors from Ireland went by O'Driscoll until they dropped the O once they arrived in Ellis Island. I love my heritage and love this time of the year. Our guest today will be talking about Irish dancing, which I honestly don't know much about, but think it's super cool and have a ton of respect for. Having two daughters, I'm excited to learn about a new form of mental and physical exercise that's right here in our backyard. Now, let me introduce our special guest. Katie Jamieson passed her Irish dance teaching certification with honors in the fall of 2014. Leading up to this milestone, Jamieson was a highly competitive Irish dancer, having been overseas 12 times for various international Irish dance championships, as well as competing locally, regionally, and nationally. Jamieson retired from competitive Irish dance as a multiple-time World Championships qualifier. Throughout her competitive years, she went on to receive medals at the Great Britain Championships, the All-Ireland Championships, and the World Irish Dance Championships. Her most prestigious awards include ranking 12th at the Great Britain Championships in 2009 and 18th in 2012, as well as finishing 36th at the World Championships in 2010 in Glasgow, Scotland. In addition to her competitive success, Jamieson had an enjoyable professional career. In 2011, she was invited to Dublin, Ireland, where she successfully auditioned for Riverdance. She went on to tour with the Tartan Terrors, a Celtic group based out of Toronto, Canada, as their lead Irish dancer between 2011 and 2013. Jamieson occasionally performs with the Irish rock group 1916, based in Rochester, New York. Some of their more renowned performances include the Rochester Fringe Festival in 2015 and the Flogging Molly Cruise in 2016. Prior to Irish dancing, Jamieson began her dance journey at age 5 in Horseheads, New York. While studying many forms of dance throughout those early years, she has performed in countless shows and attended dance competitions at the local, regional, and national level. In 2008, Jamieson earned her bachelor's degree in fine arts from SUNY Brockport, where she minored in dance performance, studying ballet and modern. In addition, Jamieson is a certified instructor of Booty Bar, a dance-inspired fitness class blending Pilates, dance, and yoga. Finally, Jamieson has taught at a number of locations over the past 18 years and has much experience with choreography and other art forms. Establishing Jamieson Irish Dance in July of 2016 is one of Katie's proudest moments. In just a few years' time, Jamieson Irish Dance has produced national recall medalists as well as world qualifiers. Jamieson's heart and soul is engulfed in building our Jamieson dance community, and the future is bright. She is overjoyed to share her gifts, knowledge, and enthusiasm with the world of dance. Wow, so we got a professional athlete on the podcast today. I'm pumped today. Welcome, Katie. What's going on?
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
The pleasure is all mine. So let's dive right in. So okay. Tell us your story. We kind of went over your story a little bit, but
yeah.
Who or what inspired you to own and operate a dance studio?
Well, I'm the youngest of three sisters. And so they grew up dancing. So I kind of grew up in the dance studio. That was with other forms of dance, tap, jazz, ballet, that kind of thing. My mom operated a store out of our childhood dance studio selling leotards and tights. So I literally grew up in this dance studio. So I really got roped into dance early on. And then later on in life, I said I was the youngest of three. They graduated in the 90s, but I was still pretty young. And Riverdance came out, the whole Riverdance boom in the 90s. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have to do that. So there was a huge boom of Irish dancers around my age bracket. We're all like a product of that Riverdance phenomenon.
So it's part of your DNA. It was just fate.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So what exactly is Irish dancing?
So Irish dancing, I mean, I think the general public knows it as you don't use your arms, you make a lot of noise, and your feet go really fast. There's two forms of dances. We have soft shoe and hard shoe. Soft shoe is most similar to ballet, light on your toes, leaps and jumps, and the female dancers are pretty graceful. The males actually have heels on their shoes, so while they're being graceful, they also have clicks. And then there's the hard shoe that everyone knows about, where we make tons of noise. It's most like tap, and there's actually a heel and a tip. And they're both made of fiberglass, so they're a little different than that tap sound that's like metal. So that's why it's so loud.
That sounds therapeutic. I feel like putting some hard shoes on and just tapping away.
Making some noise,
letting it out, especially on a Friday.
Yeah, definitely. I think the part about Irish dance that no one sees, though, I mean, you see the no arms, you see the noise, you see the fast feet. There's a lot of technique behind it, kind of like ballet, how you're always perfecting your craft. So the thing that just, you know, the professionals know is that, you know, your knees have to be tight. There's no bending like in ballet. You have to be up on your toes at all times, even in the hard shoes, which have like a pretty thick heel on it. So you have to be even higher. And that will make your beats nice and clear. And that changes the value of your sound too. Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it.
Now I think of the wigs too, right? So is this only for females or is this for males too?
Sorry, the wigs?
I mean, don't you have headpieces on too?
They're a little more optional these days. I think you'll see in the hip 2000s, you'll see Irish dancers ditching the wigs a little bit more. Back in the 90s, it was all curlers.
Okay.
And then they came out with wigs in, you know, the early 2000s. And now people are going a little more natural, but it's all optional.
So like I said, I'm a novice in this. I know nothing about Irish dancing. Okay, so
the kids love those wigs. I mean, yeah.
But it is optional. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. We always do our shows, our performances in March. We always go natural with the hair.
Okay.
Do you have little Irish Colleens?
I love it. But what about males? Can males dance at your studio?
Yes, absolutely. I currently have only two male students, but a few little brothers who are very interested, always dancing in the doorway. Irish dance has always, I think, been pretty popular with male dancers. I grew up with male teachers, two male teachers, and back in the 90s when it all erupted, I mean, Riverdance had tons of male dancers, so I think it really appealed to the men to get out there and make that noise.
What is river dancing? What exactly is that?
So river dance is a show that came out in the 90s and it made a huge hit. It aired on in Radio City in New York City.
Okay.
And I believe it was aired on PBS and still continues to be aired on PBS. So it kind of became introduced to the public. Irish dance was introduced to the public when before that, I think it was more of like a very cultural. Irish dance was just kind of like this hidden gem. And now it's like, here you go, world. Here's Irish dance. Check it out.
I love to learn, and that's why I have a podcast. But sometimes I sound super uneducated. And so I know nothing about dance, but this is great.
You gotta turn on PBS.
I gotta turn it on. I got two girls. We do have PBS. I gotta turn that on. I agree.
There you go.
but I do want to give my wife a shout out. So during the pandemic, we got my my oldest daughter into dancing a little bit at home, just with YouTube.
Great.
But we got the cookie sheet out. We got the cookie sheet out and we put little like tap shoes on her and she was just making noise on the cookie sheet watching YouTube. That's that was all my wife.
Awesome.
That was totally her idea, but it was hilarious.
She loved it. Yeah. Step on, make noise.
Absolutely. It's all about making noise. So what age groups and classes do you service at your studio?
Yes. I have classes for age 3 through adult. Our tiniest class we've nicknamed the wee ones, age 3 and 4. And then we have beginner classes starting at age 5. And then we also have a pretty cool group of adults, and they range from, you know, beginners through adults who maybe danced as kids, and they all come and have a great time. We have a lot of fun in that class too.
That's very cool. I did not know that. I thought it would just be for the kids. That's cool.
Oh, we have so much fun. And then I have a few young adult college students who are still competing. So I think that's great too.
So when I think of dancing, I think of just the physical and mental boost that you get. So let's talk about that a little bit. Why is your style of dancing so beneficial for your health?
Oh, yeah. Well, we chatted about that a little. You said you want to make some noise, right?
To it's stay therapeutic. Sane. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I think especially during the pandemic, I've realized how therapeutic dance is for me too, you know, because there's just not much going on. And then as soon as our classes moved to Zoom, it was pretty much the only thing on the agenda was, oh, we have some Zoom Irish dance classes this evening. So yeah, I think it's just so important to keep, to hang on to your normalcy during this hard time. But I think since we're all kind of experiencing that, like what's going on in the world, when you go to your dance class, whether it's on Zoom or thank goodness we're back in person and we can kind of like let go and get back to our physical exercise, you can really let go and just focus on dancing. Yeah.
As we're speaking, I'm dancing right now. I'm definitely moving. I'm moving the most that I've moved on a podcast.
Yeah, because you need it.
I love it. I need it. I feel it.
You know.
But we're not using this video because I'm a terrible dancer. So it's all good. We're using the audio. Okay. Take me through a normal Irish dance class.
So we always, regardless of the age or level of the class, we always start with sharing our name. And we always start with sharing like something, whether it's like your favorite color, what you did today. I originally, when I started the school 5 years ago, I originally was like, I'll only do this with the little kids, but it has stuck and I love it because I have these teenagers. And like I said, I mean, their lives are so different this year with a lot of their activities being cut. They only go to school 2 days a week or half days. So we always start class that way and share, you know, what's going on. And that goes back to that it being therapy thing. Cause I just really want them to know that this is their safe space and we are all friends. And if you didn't talk to anyone today, now you are. So that's how we start. We always start with a warm-up. My students pretty much know that warm-up. It's kind of like
the doctor's happy. The doctor's happy hearing that.
Yeah, it's very similar to ballet. You start at the bar, you know, so we have our warm up and it, I think that helps too, because they know that even if we work on something new that day, they're going to nail that warm up because we do it every week and they can count on that to be something they know. And then we always are working on something new as well, because there's always like the go-getters who need to learn something new. And our dances are all stem from tradition. We have, you know, the jigs. There's a light jig, a hop jig, a treble jig. There's a reel and a hornpipe. Those are the main dances. So we are always working on something. And then once we've mastered one level of dance, we'll move on to a little harder choreography.
I love it. It sounds very structured, which is good.
Yeah,
I mean, we crave that, right? Human nature, we crave that structure, especially kids, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, are most of your students multiple sport athletes or do they only focus on dance?
It's definitely a mixture. I like that my schedule is flexible. So I have like a few beginner classes on the schedule, a few advanced beginner classes, a few like novice classes. So they can plan their Irish dance class around their other activities. I have a few that are very diehard. They're like Irish dance, eat, breathe, sleep. I want to dance, you know, 3 days a week, and we make that happen, you know, if we have to schedule a private lesson. And then I have some that only dance one day a week, and that's totally fine. So it's a mixture, definitely. I have a lot of performing artists as well, a lot of singers and musical theater. Yeah.
Talented kids. That's great.
Yeah.
Now, what's the commitment like? I'm just assuming that it's a huge commitment being an Irish dancer. How many hours a week? How many seasons a year do you travel domestically, internationally?
Yeah. Well, I kind of just touched on that as far as like classes, you know, it's kind of like whatever you and your family are willing to commit to, you can.
For sure.
Some families are very involved, you know, all the kids are dancing, they're all dancing multiple days a week, the parents are really involved. So, and some are just like, we're doing this for fun, recreationally, you know, so it's whatever you can handle in your family, because it definitely affects, you know, the whole family, the siblings, the parents. But I do have quite a few students who travel at least once a year to our regional championships, which are in Philadelphia in November. This past year, they were canceled. So we're all bummed about that because we really look forward to Philadelphia. And then I have a handful who travel to the North American Nationals, which are always held in a different place every summer. And this summer they're held in Phoenix, and we're really hoping that goes through.
Nice.
So I have a few students who are qualified for that, and we're really excited. And I always attend the major championships with them. So about two to three times a year. I had a student attend the world championships a year ago. So that year, I guess I traveled three times that year.
Nice. Now, where is that at? Is it always different?
It's always different. That year it was in Greensboro, North Carolina, which was out of the ordinary because it's usually, you know, Ireland, Europe, Scotland, England, but it was in the US. So I said, oh, I have to go here.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm sure your business was affected by COVID. I mean, whose was it, right? But especially the travel, right? So you guys didn't travel at all last year. You're hoping to travel this year, right?
Yes. Yeah. Really hoping to.
Now, what about classes and stuff? I mean, was your gym shut down for a while?
We had to close in March, like most things. And then I believe the end of June, I was able to open at 50% capacity, but I didn't even do that in June. I think I only did small groups, so like 2 to 3 people at a time.
Gotcha.
And then we were able to open at 50% capacity. I think I didn't do it until August though.
Gotcha.
But we were really grateful for Zoom. We were able to Zoom all those months, and it's a challenge. You know all about Zoom, I'm sure. And you know, as much of it was a challenge for me, the families and the parents and the kids, they loved it. They really looked forward to it. I saw so many like pets, dollhouses. It was great.
That's awesome. So what about a parent thinking about getting their child into dance? Why should they consider Irish dance? So I guess this would be like your elevator speech.
Well, it's hard to sell this on a year coming off of COVID.
For sure.
But normally our community is awesome. The Irish community is very small. So we often perform alongside Irish musicians in the area. All the Irish pubs, you know of the Irish dance schools, and, you know, we have a blast, especially in March, but usually year round we have performances booked and there's a lot of fun things. It's a little different than other forms of dance in that way, because I think other forms of dance, the performances are very like formal, and ours are very like tap your toe, clap along, whoops, I made a mistake, keep going, no one knows. It's just a blast. So I think that's a huge draw for Irish dancing. And it really does involve, you know, as I mentioned, the parents, the siblings, you know, we march in the parade every year. And then, you know, we have all the dancers marching and dancing and skipping. And then behind them is like this huge crew of parents and siblings. And they're just like hooting and hollering for their dancers. So yeah. It's such a community-based sport. And another thing that's been such a bummer is our waiting room has been closed this past year, but I'll tell you, normally that waiting room is full of such joy, you know. Yeah. The parents are getting to know each other, the little siblings are all like coloring and coloring books. I mean, it's just such a community.
You'll be back. It's coming back. I feel it. It's coming. It's close. Oh, yeah. It's coming back.
Absolutely. Can't wait.
And it's awesome what you're doing. I mean, you're creating this safe haven for these teenagers and these young kids to still connect and open up and exercise.
Yeah. That is the goal.
So anything exciting planned with your business in 2021?
Well, we are really looking forward to competitions coming back. Since it's been a year, and you know, we have a variety of recreational dancers and competitive dancers, but even our end of the year show was canceled last year. So we're really looking forward to hitting some stages, hopefully soon in 2021. Despite everything, we did have a really great 2020. We expanded our studio in 2020. So
congrats.
We more than doubled the space. And entering the pandemic, I was like, oh, this is terrifying. What horrible timing. But it was actually great timing because now we have to distance in classes, our social distancing. So we have tons of space now.
Nice.
I roped in some wonderful dance dads to help me with a brand new dance floor in January of 2021. So that was really exciting this year. It's beautiful. It makes a lot of noise, which is what we're going for.
Therapeutic.
Yes, exactly. And we also, in November of 2020, we co-hosted a competition with another local Irish dance school, the Goodwin School, out at the Genesee Country Village and Museum. It was all masked. It was all very safe and friendly. And we followed all our health code recommendations, and we were really proud of that we were able to give these kids a competition when there's only been about a handful this whole year. So that was really cool.
I'm excited for you guys. It's gonna be a big year, it sounds like. So let's talk about your business. How can listeners get more information on your business and connect with you online?
Yeah, definitely. So we post a lot on Facebook. We are going to be filming some pretty awesome Irish dance videos to share with you guys since we don't have a lot of shows coming up. So check out Facebook for sure. So it's facebook.com/JamiesonIrishDance, and it's JAMIESON. We have the website jamiesondance.org, and you can connect with me through email jamiesondance@yahoo.com.
I just noticed that spelling. So Jameson, the Irish whiskey, is no I.
Right.
Interesting. Okay.
And that's what everyone goes for. So make sure it's that JAMIESON.
Add the I.
Yep.
Awesome. Final question. You ready?
Yeah.
If you have a friend coming to Rochester who has never been here, where would you take them?
Okay. So being Irish and having an Irish dance school, you have to go to Barry's Irish Pub.
Love it. I'm going there tonight for fish fries. I can't
Good
wait.
For you.
I haven't been there in a long time. And hold on, I don't want to interrupt you, but can you touch on, don't they do a festival every year? Because I want to hear more about this. They do an Irish festival, right?
That was canceled last year as well, but their first ever was the year prior, and it's out in Hilton, I believe.
At their farm. Yeah.
Yeah. And we danced at it and it was great. Okay. Oh my gosh. It was very muddy, but we brought these big wooden platforms. The show must go on. And it was great.
So be on the lookout for that. It's in the summertime, correct?
I believe it's in August.
End of summer. Okay.
Don't quote me. Check out Barry's.
Okay. Barry's Irish Pub. Keep going. Where else are you going?
Yeah. Well, I live in Webster with my family, so I think you have to visit the bay. It's beautiful. wherever you want to go to check out the bay. If you are new to Rochester, you need to go to Cobbs Hill or Ellison Park to see beautiful views. Mm-hmm. I am a big fan of quirky Rochester gifts. I'm a big fan of Arkhamash. Have you ever been?
No, I haven't.
It's on Monroe Ave.
Okay.
It's similar to, like, you know, Park Lee, Peppermint, Record Archive. They all have the fun, quirky Rochester gifts. I think you have to take out-of-towners there. And then most people say you got to get a garbage plate. And my favorite is at Dogtown.
Oh, Dogtown is good.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Arkhamash is right across the street.
Okay. I got to get there. Quirky gifts. I like it.
Yeah.
A little bit of food, a little bit of hiking outdoors.
Yeah.
And top it off with a garbage plate.
Absolutely. Definitely.
Well, Katie, I appreciate your time. I know you're busy being a business owner. Tell your fiance or husband now. Fiance?
Husband.
Husband, congratulations. Yeah, tell Logan I said what's up, but I know you got a lot on your plate. You're very busy. So thank you for what you do for our community, giving kids and adults a safe haven to work out and blow off some steam and make noise. Yeah. So thank you
so much. It's the best. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet. So thanks for listening to today's episode. I hope you gained a lot of value from what Katie shared with us today, and we'll share this with family and friends. Make sure to hit that subscribe button so you can join me next time with a new local guest in the health and wellness space. I hope you're having an amazing day, and I'll talk with you soon. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. Again, I'm Dr. Matt Driscoll, owner and operator of Driscoll Chiropractic in Webster, New York. Are you dealing with aches and pains on a daily basis? I'm here to tell you that it does not have to be like that. I want to help you get out of pain. I want to help you solve your problems. I want to unravel what happened in the past to lead to where you're at now. So if that's you and you have questions about your health, call me, text me, email me, go to my website, driscollchiropracticny.com, read a little bit more about myself and my approach. You can call or text 585-672-3870. You can email me info@driscollchiropracticny.com. You can find me on Facebook, Driscoll Chiropractic NY, or on Instagram @dr.driscoll. One more thing, guys, if you don't mind popping over to Apple Podcast Reviews and leaving me a 5-star review or any star, it doesn't matter. It's just feedback for me. And the goal and the mission of this podcast is to reach more people and to help more people. So thanks again, guys, for listening. It means the world to me. Buckle up. I got some great guests lined up. Talk to you soon.